Right. So thank you once again, brothers and sisters, for tuning in to the most exciting guest in Canada. After talker. Sorry, Maxine.
It's intentional distraction of the West, specifically here in Canada by a neoliberal government in coalition with the NDP. We stand with Ukraine because Mr. Zelensky.
My very first call this year was with Volodymyr Zelensky, because we know that Russia must win this war.
They are not investing into new infrastructure anymore.
That's not what I said.
What I have said is that the solutions to our transport challenge pass by many different things, including massive investment in public transit.
What I can see, Trudeau is very, you know, his ego is everything.
Justin Trudeau.
I wish people would be more aware about Coutts 4. Whether you agree with it or not, it just lets you know the vulnerability you have to lawfare and judicial weaponization.
Yeah.
Two of them just pleaded guilty to lower gun crimes as far as the Firearms Act in Canada. But just to show that this was like our January 6th, where they needed to use this on a media talking point and lens in order to invoke the Emergencies Act. And then when we dig a little bit, years go by, and then we recognize that it was just bullshit. Yes.
What about the noted of all the Nazis in the parliament? Remember, Pierre Poilievre stood up and applauded too. He was there applauding to the honker. The funny part about this, they accused the trucker convoy in being Nazis, and then they set up a Nazi parade in the parliament.
And, you know, we're going so far left, but it looks as though Canadians have picked it off now, and the pendulum is going to start swinging the other way, especially when you start going through a tough economic time and it's hitting the individual.
The irony is, I didn't want to cut anybody off before, but when we're talking about immigration, and I still have PTSD from like curfews and vaccine passports that sooner or later trailed into minimizing the hospital stays and the weight on the system. And as far as I know, that hasn't been addressed, but yet we're flooding this place with more people that will be within the system. So
when we did the polls at that time, 65% of the population were in agreement with lockdowns and curfew and stay-at-home orders. So if you're a politician that is in the opposition in Quebec or in Ottawa, and you look at the polls and you say, oh, if I'm speaking against these draconian measures, I will have 65% of the population against me. So I will be silent. And that's why you didn't have any opposition.
You know, sitting here listening to you, it reminds me a little bit of RFK. You're a Canadian version of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in America.
Credibility is everything in politics. And, you know, it's hard to gain credibility, but when you have it, it's very easy to lose it. So the only way to be credible is to tell what you believe in openly and don't lie. That's it.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for tuning in to the part two of Maxime Bernier Show, the most amazing guest that Alex has show ever had, other than Glenn and Andre. Maxime, back to our exhilarating conversation about Canadian future. Everything we just discussed regarding the Western world personalized by Canada specifically, we see as if it's intentional distraction of the West, specifically here in Canada by a neoliberal government in coalition with NDP. Liberals don't even hide that fact. They rather send money to Ukraine.
Because we know that Russia must win this war.
They rather send money to Africa. They rather send money to Caribbean. They rather send money everywhere else in the world, except to contribute here. And just a few days ago, when they announced that they are not investing into new infrastructure anymore.
What I have said is that the solutions to our transport challenge pass by many different things, including massive investment in public transit, including investment in electrification of transportation.
So they're now officially saying, we stand with Ukraine because Mr. Zelensky.
My very first call this year was with Volodymyr Zelensky, who wanted to know that Canada still stood with him, that Canadians still stood with him. And I told him, yes, we do. The Canadian government and most of the parties in the House will continue to stand with him. This Conservative Party no longer stands with Ukraine. Why are they abandoning Ukraine?
Like I said earlier in the interview, go drive around Montreal without losing the wheel.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that our elected, supposedly, government does not represent the constituency under any circumstances.
I want to use this opportunity also to thank our Canadian constituency, which always has been a very loyal and very much engaged constituency here at the Forum.
Walk in the snow. What is your prediction? Is he walking in the snow in February or March?
I hope he will as soon as possible, you know. And if they have a new leader, I'm speaking about the Liberal Party of Canada, if they have a new leader, I believe it would be very, very hard. If you look at back in the history, you know, you had Jean Chrétien. After that, you have Paul Martin. Paul Martin was not able to stay prime minister. You know, the damage is there. The Liberal branding is hurt by all these scandals and a new one this week. So the new leader, I believe it would be very difficult for him to or her to be elected. But and Trudeau, what I can see, Trudeau is very, you know, his ego is everything.
Justin Trudeau.
So I don't know that Trudeau will be ready. If you look at the polls and he knows before the election, and you know, in election you have 5 weeks, and to turn that around, so if you are behind in the beginning of the election by 15 points and you have only 5 weeks to turn that around, it's very difficult. So I don't know if Trudeau will want to lose the election and for his ego. Maybe he will, he will do what is the best for him, not to be not to run for the next not be the leader of the Liberal Party of Canada at the next election. We'll see.
You get a feeling that there's going to be an election coming up much sooner. The coalition they have with the NDP party looks very fractious right now. They want the pharmacare in there. And they're talking about
more socialism.
More socialism, more medications like birth control should be paid by the, you know, the single payer system. It's everybody here. We all pay in for everybody else. And that never works. Socialism slowly but surely morphs into communism. And, you know, we're going so far left, but it looks as though Canadians have picked it off now and the pendulum is going to start swinging the other way, especially when you start going through a tough economic time and it's hitting the individual in his wallet and her wallet. Then he starts saying, I think we need a change. Now it's becoming more more aggressive towards changing the government.
Money talks, grocery bills talks, energy talks, cost of living, you know, so... It's a perfect storm. It's not a perfect storm. It's a storm of their cause. They're the ones causing it. So the irony is that I didn't want to cut anybody off before, but when we're talking about immigration, and I still have PTSD from like curfews and vaccine passports that sooner or later trailed into minimizing the hospital stays and the weight on the system. And as far as I know, that hasn't been addressed, but yet we're flooding this place with more people that will be within the system. So again, they're adding more and more variables that are going to be their demise.
Yeah, nonsense. And you spoke about the inflation before 2-3%, but we know that the real inflation, that's the official inflation rate, but the real one, if you do your grocery, it between maybe 7-10%. And that's killing people. Standard of living is going down. Our purchasing power is going down. And now we have more people. And as you know, there's waiting time for surgeries in our healthcare system. But all these people that are coming, they can and they will benefit if there's a benefit to our healthcare system. So they will wait like us. So waiting times will be bigger and bigger and longer and longer. So it's a perfect storm. And that's why... You know,
More and more people are aware of that, and they don't believe the politicians, the traditional establishment politicians anymore. And for us as a political party, I believe that we can grow by telling the truth based on facts, and that's what we are doing.
And you guys were doing it when it wasn't popular, right from the get-go.
Yeah.
I'm jaded when it comes to the political establishment. Obviously, I think a lot of people are at this point. But it's the people saying the things that are unpopular at the toughest time that to me are the ones to be followed and listened to or backed. So you're the white pill here. You know what I mean? So, and it's they're hard to find, and nobody's been swallowing them yet, but we got this judgment not too long ago as far as it being unlawful or recognized unlawful.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the start of it. And then maybe the light at the end of the tunnel with the landscape change in the political sphere.
I believe so. The time is on our side. Like COVID-19, it took us 2 years to win against the tyranny. When you said, you know, politicians want to be loved. And so they will look at the poll and focus group, and they will do everything to be elected or re-elected. During the COVID hysteria, the federal, the provincial governments use the fear and propaganda to change the public opinion. And, you know, when we did the polls at that time, 65% of the population were in agreement with lockdowns and curfew and stay-at-home orders. So if you're a politician that is in the opposition in Quebec or in Ottawa, and you look at the polls and you say, oh, if I'm speaking against these draconian measures, I will have 65% of the population against me, so I will be silent. And that's why you didn't have any opposition. But for us, it's not the case. It's in our DNA. We created that party based on individual freedom and personal responsibility. So when that happened, we are not looking at polling and focus group, and we don't do any polling and focus group. That's what we believe. We're going to speak up there and with passion and conviction. And we believe that the more we speak about that, the more support we'll have. And that's the way that we are doing politics. And so we're not looking to the short term, but we're doing politics for a mid and long term. And I believe that's the best thing to do.
Yeah, it's rational to think that way. And yeah. I wish you guys, you know, continued success. And I hope that you attract, especially in our province here in Quebec, because I see this as a voting fighting ground, conservative, liberal, where the elections are decided for Canada in my books, the Parti Québécois and whatnot. Yeah. So it's very, I feel like if there's a place for PPC, Quebec should be the breeding ground.
And actually speaking about that, we are looking for candidates right now. We have about 125 candidates approved and selected all across the country for the next election. We will have a candidate in every riding. And in Quebec, I believe right now we have about 30 of them approved and selected. So we are working on that. And if your viewers are interested, they can go on our website, peoplespartyofcanada.ca, write to us at info@peoplespartyofcanada.ca. And we have a strong process. We do an interview, background check and all that. But if you share our values, you're welcome. And we don't mind if you're black or white or yellow or heterosexual or anything.
Other,
we don't mind about that. You believe in our values. Let's fight for a better society.
You know, sitting here listening to you, it reminds me a little bit of RFK. You're a Canadian version of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in America. He is like an independent party now, and he's standing for what he believes in and what's right for the people. You said something before that, you know, we've always been honest right from the beginning. This is the thing, is that the constituency, the people of Canada are used to being lied to. It's almost like they expect it. So when they have somebody coming out and telling them the truth as it is right from the beginning, then they get caught off a little bit because they're not used to it. And plus, without the political correctness being thrown in there, you know, like with flowers on top.
No, you have a point there. And for me, credibility is everything in politics. And, you know, it's hard to gain credibility, but when you have it, it's very easy to lose it. So the only way to be credible is to tell what you believe in openly and don't lie. That's it. And I'm saying that to people. If you don't lie, if you go on our website, peoplespartyofcanada.ca, read our platform, it's every day. If you don't like it, just don't vote for us. I won't pander to you. That's it. You you have other choices, the conservative, the liberals, the NDP, the Bloc Québécois, vote for them. So we won't pander, we won't change. And I believe that we are gaining credibility by having always the same platform at every election. And people know that when we'll be elected, we will do it. Because, you know, I've been speaking about these issues for the last 6-7 years right now.
Yeah. When it wasn't popular. Again, I just got to reiterate that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. A man of the people, for the people. He does what he says, and he says what he does.
But I like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm following him in the U.S. And, you know, he is canceled by the mainstream media over there because of his position on the vaccine or the medical.
Ukraine.
And Ukraine, actually. But he's doing very well because, you know, he's doing podcasts all across the country. I saw him on Joe Rogan, but I saw him on a little podcast. I think it was in Missouri, 1,000 followers. And he had Robert F. Kennedy saying the same thing that he said with Joe Rogan. Yeah. And so I look at that and I said to my team in Ottawa, that must be our strategy. It's very difficult for me to be in the mainstream media. I'm doing press conference, but they won't cover it. And so our strategy is to be all across the country and doing podcasts, the big one, the small one. And that's why I'm very pleased that I'm here today with you.
Thank you for being here on Alex Sass Show. We have a lot more than 1,000 followers. We have like 2,000 followers. And we actually know firsthand because you bring up a really amazing question. There's a few things going on, right? So media, we have all those bills like C-11 and all those government media controlling bills now that where the government can go to YouTube and tell them, you're not showing this video because it doesn't fit the purpose of government propaganda. And I believe we experience it here and in terms of being shadow banned on platforms like YouTube. Now, recently, just a few days ago, the Minister of Heritage, Pascal Saint-Ange, came out condemning Pierre Poilievre regarding, you know, his interaction with the journalist who he said is paid for by Liberal Party.
I want to say that he's pretty thin-skinned. It's our job when we're politicians to answer questions from journalists. You need to answer questions. And when you're attacking the press, when you're attacking our free press, you're also attacking democracy. It's unworthy of a leader.
And it's true. You know, the CBC collects billion of dollars and they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot. And then they fire everybody. What, Glenn?
$1.3 billion at the end of fiscal year 2023.
But then he goes, remember, like just a few years ago during the plan gimmick, he came out and said, well, I'm not going to answer questions from Rebel News, for example, because you're not an accredited institution. And you need to go through accredited institutions. You guys don't know anything. You guys go against the science. And
you're too independent.
You're too independent. Yeah,
yeah. Organizations like yours that continue to spread misinformation and disinformation on the science.
He said this. So the corruption level in this country is enormous. I'm going to just bring something else in there. Recently, we found out that we overpaid by about $60 million for ArriveCan, which was...
Arrive Can't,
right?
Never worked.
Well, it never worked, but it actually it wasn't designed to save and protect or anything like this. It was designed to implement the Nazi laws as well as...
to know where Canadian are.
Exactly.
To control us.
Control us, right? But also, now we find out like companies that just subcontracted this service got $20 million. And a few days ago, we discovered the same company received $250 million for the services we don't know what they consisted of, right? Now, I'm definitely for an audit on many different levels.
It's been done.
Well, including...
By the police.
Now it's starting. RCMP, yes.
What about the audit of all the Nazis in the parliament? Remember, Pierre Poilievre stood up and applauded too. He was there applauding to the honker. And his accomplishments as a good Nazi in Ukraine. And again, we're not judging all the people that escaped the war and whatever they had to follow through and all this other stuff. But, you know, we have a problem here that our current government, elected supposedly government,
does not represent the constituency in any way and actually working actively against the people. So I'm bringing the question back. How do we overturn this? Like, we can describe those actions all together, but till people held accountable, because your party is based on personal accountability. That means we hold ourselves accountable first to our thoughts, our words, and our action, but then in return, we earn the right to hold a representative accountable. What is the first step to hold them accountable?
Right now, what we have as citizens, it's only the election. So at the election, you know, you will vote against these politicians and for something, but there's people who are promoting a new law that you can have, you know, they call that repeal. So you can, if you have your member of parliament in your riding, your member of parliament told you something when he was elected and is doing the opposite in government, so you can repeal. You can have signatures, a referendum, and asking for an election only in that riding. And so you'll be able right now, instead of waiting for the next general election, you'll be able to vote if you want him or her or another person. We don't have that legislation in Parliament in Ottawa right now, but that can be a good idea. But also, we need about the COVID-19 hysteria and everything that they provincials and federal governments that they did to us. We need to have a real inquiry about that. You know, we need to have a committee of a member of parliament that will look at it and bringing, you know, we cannot turn the page and like nothing happened. What they did to us, to Canadians, dividing the populations like that, and the authoritarian measures that they imposed to us, we need to have that debate. And I believe that, you know, a commission in parliament would be a good thing. And, you know, it's sad that the conservatives, that they can do that tomorrow. Poilievre is serious about that. He can, okay, decided to have a special committee to look at everything that they did to us during COVID-19. But he won't go there. Poilievre is like Trudeau. He wants to turn the page, but we won't. People must be accountable, and to be accountable, we must know who did what and when.
Okay, so that's an important question. We actually have laws in place. I mean, you said voting. Yes. You said voting, yes, but we have, like, even, I don't really care much for international law in general, because I'm all about representing the rights of the local people, but we have international laws in place, like Nuremberg. So we do have mechanisms in place in the world to address it. Unfortunately, those mechanisms was put in forth by political bodies like UN, for example. And UN does not represent the interest of Canadians, unfortunately. And UN is pulling the same party line everywhere else, not just here. But we do have a legal process in place. We do have a legal mechanism. I know that the federal government right now being sued by a lot of people who got affected by the trucker convoy, you know, infringements on their rights in terms of right to freedom of expression, to assemble. And, you know, when the bank accounts were seized, then people were arrested on those false premises.
And so, we still have people in Alberta that are in jail for nothing.
Coots 4.
In Coots. I spoke with them. And, you know, I strongly believe that these guys are innocent. They didn't do anything. And they were just leader of a peaceful movement over there. And we still have two men that are in jail after more than 723 days in jail without a bail and anything. And we are doing that in Canada, supposed to be a democratic country. And a big date for them would be February 20th, next week. They will have an hearing and we'll see what will happen there. But you're right. A lot of Canadians also can sue the federal government. I'm doing that personally. And I know that other Canadians are doing that. People who had their bank account frozen.
It was today, right? That two people filed, Chrystia Freeland and against Trudeau personally for invoking.
Yeah.
On there.
Yeah. So there's another way also, the election and suing the government. So I'm fighting at the election to be able to have our candidates elected, but also I'm fighting personally with that
case against the government.
Yeah, I wish people would be more aware about Coots 4. Whether you agree with it or not, it just lets you know the vulnerability you have to lawfare and judicial weaponization.
Yeah.
Two of them just pleaded guilty to lower gun crimes as far as the Firearms Act in Canada. But just to show that this was like our January 6th, where they needed to use this on a media talking point and lens in order to invoke the Emergencies Act. And then when we dig a little bit, years go by, and then we recognize that it was just bullshit. It was pure bullshit.
The funny part about this, they accused the trucker convoy in being Nazis, and then they set up a Nazi parade in the parliament. That's
standing
amazing.
Ovation.
Standing ovation. You're right. So, and then they blamed it on the Putin propaganda.
And MPs are saying, we didn't know. No, sorry. I was in parliament. I was a member of parliament. And when that's a rule, when the Speaker of the House has guests, he will send an email to your office, and before going at the question period, you have the email, you have the name of the people that will be honored by the speaker, so you know it in advance. And after that, also, when the speaker did acknowledge that guy, he said he fought against Russia. So you know that was a Nazi that was fighting against Russia at that time. So, you know, there's no excuse for them, no excuse for the conservatives, no excuse for the Bloc, for the Liberals. They were all happy, and actually Putin enjoyed that.
The Canadian Parliament introduced a man who, as the Speaker of the Parliament said, fought against the Russians during the World War II. Well, who fought against the Russians during the World War II? Hitler and his accomplices.
With his interview with Tucker, he was laughing at us, and he had good reason.
Yeah, rightfully so. We look like such a joke internationally.
Yeah, yeah. It's embarrassing. But Trudeau said Canada is back at the international scene. And we are back. Yeah.
Being laughed at on international stage.
What a joke.
Canada's justice system is akin to a third world dictatorship type of system right now. You know, guys, with the Arrive scam app during the pandemic, there was it caused over 10,000 Canadian travelers to have to quarantine for nothing because of that. I mean, that's time lost at work. You know, it's a mix up with the families. You have to stay home. It's all a big headache again under this government. And we've been talking a lot of what Mr. Trudeau has done during his 8-year tenure as a leadership. I don't want to use that word, him and leadership, but in the same sentence, it's
well, you can say they, them.
It's, well, whatever.
In submission.
You know, I want to just let the listeners know this is just tipping, you know, the top of the iceberg about everything that Trudeau has done. You know, a lot of his scandals were the Aga Khan vacation, Aga Khan. That was a big one on a private island. Yeah. And this guy was a donator to the Liberal Party.
Yeah, but he was a friend of the Trudeau family. So that's okay.
Like the same thing that just happened in Jamaica.
Friends. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like the same thing that just happened in Jamaica. What is it, $80,000 for a week in Jamaica?
That's pretty nice.
Then you have him and his family in 2018 on an 8-day trip to India. He was Mr. Dress-Up. Even the Indians are saying, who's this clown? What's he doing?
That was
an insult for them, you know?
I know. Yeah. And it made us look stupid again. That's a leader of Canada? What's wrong with those Canadians? You had his scandal with the cash for access events at homes of wealthy Chinese people who would pay.
And they were giving money to the Trudeau Foundation.
The We Charity too.
The
Trudeau Foundation and also the We Charity. They were intertwined. And
if you want to speak about that, that will take all the time.
It's
that we have show.
One after the other. He's being called out for so many scandals, and it's costing Canadians so much money, and we're dropping so quickly economically in the world. And this is going on right in front of you, and the media doesn't really focus on it too much. It brings it up, you know, we show to people, and then it's quiet right away. That's why we have to get rid of the mainstream media muppets. The lad and his group spends $400,000 Canadian dollars just to go over for 2 days to attend the funeral of the Queen.
Yeah.
Oh. He spends our money like, I mean, we work for it, but he spends it like there's no tomorrow.
No, you work for him. You work for him.
What happened about the inquiry into the Chinese interference in the elections in 2019 and 2021? It just it goes to sleep.
Well, what
it
about stops? What about interference by like the first thing he said on January 1st or whatever that like, was second? He said, "Oh, the first conversation I had with President Zelensky of Ukraine and reassured him that we're going to send more of your money."
My very first call this year was with Volodymyr Zelensky.
Like, what about inquiring into that? Like, when we have homeless crackheads everywhere in the cities. Now, I guess.
I know that you can go on. Look at that.
I have pages. It kept me up half the night doing all the research.
They give us a lot of material.
It's unbelievable.
Established order is it's nonstop joke machine.
Well, I have. Speaking of jokes, okay, let's do comedy. climate change. All right.
By the way, climate change, okay? Now. Compared to the year 2000, so 24 years later, there's 5% more vegetation on the whole planet, even though the population
has grown. Thanks for CO2.
Thank you to CO2 because it makes the
all
vegetation
life possible.
grow
well,
bigger,
carbon-based
quicker. You know when you have those greenhouse the greenhouses there where they grow food for farming all year round.
They actually burn carbon. They burn fuel to create more carbon.
Yeah, they push CO2 into them so that they'll be more plentiful and create more crops.
Yeah.
But it's logic. Now you're describing is logic. And logic and common sense, they don't appeal to the people that watch 14-second TikTok videos. It's just too short of the span. They have to have talking points regurgitating to them so they can regurgitate it to you. And then they're like, oh, what's your background in this? Now, okay, let's stick to climate change.
You're right when you said it's logic. It's logic, all that is being spewed out, and now that's why we have to pay a carbon tax.
Okay, so quick, okay, remember ozone layer thing? What happened to that? We don't talk about that anymore, right? Oh, Amazon, we don't talk about that anymore. We don't save the planet, and we're going to be all under the water, and then Obama's and everybody else bought the water cost property. Properties. Now, okay, so recent EV meltdown, right? So electric mobiles, they are terrible for environment in so many, many different ways, and they don't work in Canada. It's too cold, right? First of all, the carbon tax. And by the way, Pierre Poilievre is pushing the carbon tax idea because, like you said, he's focusing on the economics of that and not exactly where it's coming from. It's where is the agenda coming from and why it's being controlled?
But we must admit, Pierre Poilievre will abolish the carbon tax. That is his position, and I believe he will do it. But at the same time, also, he is in line with the Paris Accord. He will do everything to achieve the Paris Accord goals, and that's why he will give subsidies to the green technology. He will impose regulation on businesses to fight climate change. Pierre Poilievre won't say that CO2 is not a pollutant. He won't say that CO2 is food for plants, and CO2 is what I'm exhaling right now when I'm speaking. So it won't go there. We will withdraw from the Paris Accord like Trump did. Trump, when he was president of the United States, he decided not all that crazy Paris Accord and climate crisis. There's no climate crisis. I'm withdraw. I'm not part of the Paris Accord. After that, Biden came and he signed the Paris Accord again. So we will withdraw from that. But these establishment political parties will stay in the Paris Accord and impose on us more regulation to fight something that is nonsense.
This is the reason why Trump didn't get along with Trudeau, and Biden does get along with Trudeau. But with you as PM, I think you would get along with Trump exponentially a lot better.
But on one, you know, Trump is for peace. Trump didn't, under the presidency of Donald Trump, you didn't have any war. The American didn't go to war. And same thing with Ukraine. His position on Ukraine is to have a peace deal with as soon as possible with Putin. I said that in the beginning, and they told me I was pro-Putin. I said, you know, we don't need to be part of that war. It's not our war in Canada. We must promote peace and peacekeeping. That's our history and our culture. So we must do that. But at that time, 2 years ago, oh, no, everybody, with the media and the propaganda coming from the media, a lot of Canadians had the little flags from Ukraine, but they didn't know what. They just follow the
next thing.
The next thing. After COVID, now we must have that little flag. But that being said, that's why I really enjoyed the interview with Tucker, Putin and Tucker. And he put that in a historical context. And these territories, Donbass and Crimea, was part of Russia before. And you had Rush people speaking Russian over there. And he wanted to protect them because they had a civil war. And so that's his position. Wow. You like it or not?
Hold up. I'm going to interrupt this right now. Yeah. So what you're saying is Quebec, historically, we had, you know, like one of the things is what Putin did, he went into Ukraine to protect Russian people that are being oppressed by Ukraine. For example, Russian language is outlawed. And, you know, the, you know, politically and culturally, they went into there. They banned Russian language everywhere in parliament and schools and everything else. We have similar things happening here in Quebec, right? So we live in a country where we're experiencing the same thing. And this is probably the reason why Trudeau wants to protect the democracy in Ukraine, because it resembles the corruption democracy here in Canada.
But what we have, it's a bilingual country here. Yes, there's the Bill 101 in Quebec. But, you know, for me, the Anglophone in Quebec are part of, they created that province. It's not only Francophone Quebecers, but with the Anglophone. And for me, there's no distinction. I understand that the PQ at that time tried to promote the with the Bill 101 more the Francization of Quebec. But we know historically that Anglophone as a part, they're part of who we are as Quebecers. And, you know, that's why personally I send my two daughters to an English school, because I didn't want my daughters to speak English with an accent like I have, like I'm doing right now.
You have a very sexy accent. I would vote for you just for this. But that's what worked for Trudeau. It will work for you.
But what I didn't like with the Bill 101 is the fact that Quebecers cannot send their kids to an English school, but Anglophone can send their kids to a Francophone school. And my daughters were able to go to an English school because of their grandmom and granddad on the side of my ex-wife. He went to an English school in Quebec. So they had the grandfather clause and they were able to go to an English school. So that being said, right now, one of my daughters, she speaks French with an English accent. And I'm okay with that. I'm proud of that. So, but sometimes the nationalists in Quebec, they try to push nationalism without speaking about the Anglophone that must be part of that.
But isn't it, it's a divide and conquer tool, really. Like, we understand in the overall political scheme, that's what it is. But it doesn't take away the fact that it does take away from the English-speaking population in Montreal specifically. Yeah. It takes away the rights. Like, go try to get in English services in Quebec right now. You can't. Even when you go in person, they do not provide that service to you, right? So, like,
you said, the Quebec government.
Yes.
When you call in Quebec City, and everybody knows there's a rivalry between Quebec City and Montreal. All our public servants provincially are in Quebec, and the irony is that they have disdain for whom they serve, which is, you know, vastly seated in Montreal. I benefit from that grandfather clause. I'm Quebecois 100%, the fact that I was able to go to English schools allowed me the lifestyle I have and the opportunities that I've had. But at the same time, playing devil's advocate, because we're talking about immigration policy, the same kind of historical context led to immigration in Quebec being done in French. And I'd like, you know, that I'm a little twisted with that, considering we know it's a problem now with what we're asking about. Yeah. How do we go about assimilation? During those years, it was because of colonization and how the Quebecois perceived it and whatnot. But the fact that in Quebec, you know, we have Haitians, Algerians, Moroccan, everybody has their roots in Francophonie, in hoping to stave off the Quebecois culture. But that's where I'm sitting on the fence with that, because I get the benefits of being fluent.
That's
done so much for me throughout my life. So,
gentlemen, let's face it. If there was an election today, Trudeau would get whomped. The Liberals would be out. And looks like...
Today or tomorrow.
It could even get worse for them. And so he would be out. Yet, which province in Canada would still overwhelmingly vote for the federal Liberal Party under Trudeau? It's the Quebec. Can we try to understand why?
Well, but they're voting for the Bloc Québécois also. Well, and I don't understand that. You know, actually, the Bloc Québécois and Trudeau, they're sharing the same. There's two socialist political party, And, you know, on immigration, they're the same for mass immigration. You know, they won't do anything to abolish the Multiculturalism Act. So the problem is more the Bloc Québécois in Quebec.
We have a distinguished guest today, so I'll watch my language, but I've mentioned it before in this on this show as far as growing up here. The liberals will vote liberals no matter what here. They will never want to lose the vote to conservatives because they're, to them, it's a vote lost to the Bloc. And since there's a cultural warfare here, culturally, English versus French, like Alex's resentment of not being served in English in his own home state, his own province, I should say, this is where it carries into the voting box, which is, as Glenn is mentioning, like how crazy it is that we'd still be voting liberal in this province, regardless of how horrible, like I mentioned other shows, you could publish a video of him doing degree, they'd still vote for this guy. Like I don't see him not being voted in.
Yeah, in Quebec.
Quebec, the Liberals, because of this dynamic that we grew up with in the 80s and 90s, and who makes up the voting bloc now is they're so afraid to lose their vote and seeing the Bloc in, and then the Blocs are never going to vote anything else but Bloc, you know? So
you're saying that Quebec is extreme left-leaning, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, look at our party, the People's Party. We had an average of 5% all across the country at the last election. In Alberta, the province of Alberta, we had an average of 10%.
Wow.
And in Quebec, my own province, we had an average of 2.5% instead of 5.
Wow.
So that is, and you know, our platform, you know, you can say it's a right-wing platform, but it's all about common sense and it's all about more freedom and capitalism. But, you know, we didn't have we were not able to achieve the national average in my own province in Quebec. And that's why I will run in Manitoba at the next election, southern Manitoba, Portage, Lisgard. I had 17% of the vote. We had a by-election last summer. I was a candidate and I was building a team for the next election. I'm very happy with 17%. So I will start at 17% at the next election and we'll see what will happen.
Am I mistaken, or is that where you got the province you got arrested in?
Yeah, that's so the same problem.
Did you benefit what Trump is benefiting from right now as far as being the outlaw? So people maybe, the man of the people?
Yeah? Maybe, yeah. I was arrested and I was in jail for a day for having a political meeting with my people in a park outside during the COVID hysteria.
But it's okay because they've made a mistake and they said it's okay. It's in the past now.
Yeah,
you can move forward.
For me, that's when I came across your platform. And, you know, as soon as I saw that to me is where the rubber meets the pavement. And when I saw that to me, it's it was another level of, because now we get the benefit of hindsight, but it wasn't fun when that was going down and we saw that where that was potentially going in which direction. So at least that's when you crossed my radar, but I think you crossed a lot of other people's radar when that came in, that footage came around, and just the way you went about it and how you went about it, tactful and with, you know, as much grace as possible in a given situation like that. Cause, it gave some of us goosebumps, like freedom loving people, like people need to associate, the way I see it, conservative, like conserve your rights.
Yeah.
The people that are conserved, they just want to conserve their own wealth, their own rights. They're not liberal with wanting to give it away.
Yeah.
Anybody that starts doing shadow work, a little bit of spirituality work, you start looking around you and you start being more reserved and conservative as far as who you allow in your circle. Yeah. And now we're at the cusp of that. Are people forcing them to do that work or realizing that politically it's going to be done for you if you let me encroach on you as a toxic individual, or you want to go with somebody that sees it like you, that you have your right to your own space, your own freedom, your own sovereignty. Yeah. So I just wish that word would be more better understood by the liberals, because who would argue against that, you know?
Yeah.
I have a last question for Maxime. So call to action is actually to, and I'll start from scratch, you know, accountability. You hold men accountable to be men. You hold men accountable to be men in the family. You hold men accountable to hold their families together, the immediate circles, the social circles, etc. A political call is, start at the grassroots level, run for the local elections. We need more PPC candidates in Canada, just for the people to hear the platform, to hear, like Andrew said, to understand what is actually out there outside of what is being sold to us, right? So my last question to you, Maxime, we mentioned it previously, your party has grown a lot. You received a big percentage of the popular vote in the last election. What is that percentage now? And especially like compared to people like Green Party, what is the share of like Green Party is dying because of like all this debacle with electric things and the carbon thing and all this other stuff going on. What is the prognosis and what is the share of your party right now on the voting? Like, is off today in terms of polling?
Yeah, if you remember, the Green Party of Canada had 2% of the vote at the last election. We had 5% of the vote. For the Green Party of Canada, their votes are concentrated in a region, so that's easier for them to have candidates elected. And actually, right now, the Green Party of Canada has two candidates elected. So we don't have any candidate elected, but we are working for that at the next election. Our vote is, you know, all across the country. We are very popular in Alberta, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and also in Ontario. Quebec, it's a little bit more difficult. Like I said, for us, it's more a socialist province, so it's a little bit more difficult. But we will have a candidate in every riding. That's important for us because our first goal at the next election will still to increase our percentage of the vote to have more influence in Canadian politics. So from 2019 to 2021, from 1.6 to 5%, we almost triple our score. So from 5%, I hope that maybe we can double our score, 5 to 10%. And, you know, if you have a national average of 10%, in some ridings, you may have 30%, you may have 25%. So I believe that some candidates will be able to be elected, and we will start that common sense and peaceful revolution in Parliament in Ottawa. So, and now we are looking for candidates. So if you're interested to be a candidate, go on our website, People's Party of Canada, CA. Like I said before, we have 125, I believe, candidates approved and selected for the next election. We need 338 candidates. And our goal is to have that full slate before the end of this year, because we believe that we need to be ready for 2025. And I doubt that we will have an election this spring. I know that the NDP are pushing the envelope a little bit, but for them, if there's an election, they will have fewer seats. And for the Liberal, if there's an election, he won't be in power anymore. So that's not in their advantage to have an election this spring. I believe that the coalition will go until October 2025. And also, Trudeau, with all this scandal, he will want us to forget everything. And
will there be any Canada left by then?
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad because, yes, our country, but If we stop that mass immigration and balance the budget and being really fiscally responsible, we'd be able to bring back the country that we want, the country that we knew. But there's a lot of things to do, and that's what we want to do as a political party. So our party is like a movement. Slowly but surely, we are growing. But the big challenge that we have, we are not like in Europe. In Europe, you have populist party that are in power right now in Italy. And some populists, like in France, I believe that Madame Le Pen may be able to be president of France. It's going very well for her right now in the polls over there. So populism is very at the rise in Europe. But here in Canada, it's a little bit more difficult because of our electoral system. There's no proportionality in our electoral system. So we had 5% of the vote, but we don't have 5% of the members of parliament. There's no proportionality. So we are arguing for a system that would be a little bit better with putting more proportionality in our system.
Fair and just system.
Yeah, but you know, if the two main political parties don't agree with that, it won't happen. And you know, that's not in the advantage of the Conservative or the Liberals to do that. So it would be very difficult. But at least we are arguing for that. So what I'm telling you, it's a little bit more difficult for us in Canada to have a candidate elected than in Europe because of our electoral system. That's why I'm saying to people that I'm there for the next 10 years. I like what I'm doing. We are building something. Our time will come. I'm patient. I know that we are speaking about the truth based on facts, and that won't change. And our time will come. It's a question of time and just being there every time. And the challenge that we have, a lot of people don't know that there's a new political party, the People's Party of Canada. They don't know that. They don't know us because we are canceled by the mainstream media. So that's why, as the leader of the party, I have to travel across the country. I'll be in Toronto this Saturday. I will campaign over there, and I try to build the party all across the country. And I want to be back with you guys because, you know, it's a nice way for me to be out there and for more people to... and maybe next time we can do a Q&A with your viewers.
Yeah, we'll do a live show.
Yeah.
We'll do a live show.
Q&A, something like that. Yeah.
We'll 100% do a live show. That's a good point to bring Alex Sass show to the next level of shadow banning on YouTube in Canada.
Make them work for their paycheck over there, YouTube.
Yeah.
But you're laughing. I mean, we actually have, like, I noticed we have some people that commenting on our channel. You know, it's like Justin Trudeau watching our show. And the very last question just came to me as you're talking about. What about, we have this system in place called Governor General, and Governor General has a power to disband the parliament. What are the chances of that? Because, I mean, in terms of like the whole dysfunctionality and corruption and all this other stuff, it happened before in the Commonwealth countries like Australia as recently as in the 90s. Is that a possibility at all? Like, not to wait for next election? Is there, what's the mechanism for that?
Yeah, the mechanism is the governing party right now, the Liberals, they must have the confidence of the House of Commons. And now they are able to show that to the Governor General because they have an agreement with the NDP. So they can show to the Governor General that this, we have a stable, that's in our constitution, a stable government. So what needs to happen, it's the NDP, you know, saying, no, I'm not part of that coalition anymore. And the Liberals will lose the confidence of the House. And yes, maybe Poilievre can go and say, oh, I have an agreement with the Bloc Québécois or with maybe the Green, or, you know, and, you know, I would be able to have a majority. So give me the key of the house, give me the government. But it won't happen because I strongly believe that that coalition, and by the way, we don't like that, but it's a constitutional, it's legal. You have the right to have coalition like that in a parliament. We don't like it. I believe that people who voted NDP, they may not voted for that, but it's you cannot do anything against that. So we'll have to wait until October 2025.
Any last words, gentlemen, before we let Maxime go?
Well, you were talking about the left and the right, you know, the one side of the government, the left cheek, the other side is the right cheek, but that's still... altogether, it makes one government ass. This is why you can feel the wave. Maxime Bernier and the People's Party of Canada, they're fighting for your liberties, your rights, your freedoms, and justice. So you can feel that a wave of truth is starting to come over. It seems to be permeating through many countries in the world. You can't stop a time that's come, and I believe that's Mr. Maxime Bernier, under his leadership, there's a time that for Canadians to actually wake up and accept the truth, and let's all get together and do something about it.
Keep at it, and I commend you for that. Like, it's good. We need to have this kind of movement going, and that was a white pill enough for me, hearing the statistics behind the PPC. I wasn't aware, but I expect you guys will get even more momentum behind you as people have a more and more distrust in the uni party we have ruling over us in Ottawa right now.
Thank you very much. And what I believe that the next election would be a good one for us also, because I would be able to participate in the national debates. I was not part of that. So what that means, the mainstream media will have to cover us at least a couple of days before the debate and at least a couple of days after the debate. So they created a new rule at the last election for the People's Party. They said you need to have 4% of the vote. We had 5%, so we'll be there. But I was part of the national debates in 2019. But now, we know, with 5%, we're going to be there, and that will help us to have a nice momentum.
So you heard it here first at Alex Sass Show that we are growing the PPC party one step at a time, one candidate at a time. And I mean... You can sponsor Alex Sass Show as an official propaganda channel for PPC, and we'll contribute some of the funds to the PPC because we have families too. I mean, that's how it works in Canada, isn't it?
Keep the lights on.
All jokes aside, thank you, Maxime, for being here today. And yes, the next show, brothers and sisters.
But I'm asking you, you know, you can donate also to, you know, you want to promote good ideas.
Yes.
And I believe that you're doing a good job for that. And yes, you are... doing that show because of donations from people. Same thing for us as a political party. So I encourage everybody, put your money where your thoughts are. You know, if you believe in something, help that person or that organization or that show.
Yeah, and then we'll put links down in our description where you can contribute to PPC's fight for all of our freedoms, not just a political freedom. Right. So thank you once again, brothers and sisters, for tuning in to the most exciting guest in Canada after Tucker. Sorry, Maxine. No, you can. Tucker came and gone, but you're here to stay for 10 years. You are the most important guest. That was a joke again. And forgive my humor. You are amazing. Thank you for being here today with us. And thank you for sharing your time, energy. Thank you for being the champion of the people. We have a champion here as well with us. Andre and Glenn, thank you so much for being here with me today as well at Alex Sass Show, brothers and sisters. And we'll see you on the next one. Glenn, we make a community worse for everyone.